A beautiful statue and a swallow team up to help the poor in the city below. John Moffat reads Oscar Wilde's much-loved tale, The Happy Prince.
High above the city, on a tall column, stood the statue of the Happy Prince. He was gilded all over with thin leaves of fine gold. For eyes he had two bright sapphires, and a large red ruby glowed on his sword hilt. He was very much admired indeed. "Why can't you be like the Happy Prince?" asked a sensible mother of her little boy, who was crying for the moon. "The Happy Prince never dreams of crying for anything." One night there flew over the city a little swallow. His friends had gone away to Egypt 6 weeks before, but he had stayed behind, for he was in love with the most beautiful reed. "Shall I love you?" said the swallow, who liked to come to the point at once, and the reed made him a low bow. So he flew round and round her, touching the water with his wings and making silver ripples. This was his courtship, and it lasted all through the summer. "It is a ridiculous attachment," twittered the other swallows. Then, when the autumn came, they all flew away. After they'd gone, he felt lonely, and began to tire of his lady love. "She has no conversation," he said, "and I'm afraid that she is a coquette, for she is always flirting with the wind." "You've been trifling with me," he cried. "I'm off to the pyramids. Goodbye." And he flew away. All day long he flew, and at night time he saw the statue on the tall column. "I will put up there," he cried. "It is a fine position with plenty of fresh air." So he alighted just between the feet of the Happy Prince. "I have a golden bedroom," he said softly to himself as he looked round, and he prepared to go to sleep. But just as he was putting his head under his wing, a large drop of water fell on him. "What a curious thing," he cried. "There's not a single cloud in the sky. The stars are quite clear and bright, and yet it is raining." Then another drop fell. "What is the use of a statue if it cannot keep the rain off?" he said. "I must look for a good chimney pot," and he determined to fly away. But before he opened his wings, a third drop fell, and he looked up and saw... Ah, what did he see? The eyes of the Happy Prince were filled with tears. The tears were running down his golden cheeks. His face was so beautiful in the moonlight that the little swallow was filled with pity. "Who are you?" he said. "I am the Happy Prince." "And why are you weeping then?" asked the swallow. "You've quite drenched me." "When I was alive and had a human heart," answered the statue, "I did not know what tears were, for I lived in the palace where sorrow is not allowed to enter. My courtiers called me the Happy Prince, and happy indeed I was, if pleasure be happiness. So I lived, and so I died. And now that I am dead, they have set me up here so high that I can see all the ugliness and all the misery of my city. And though my heart is made of lead, yet I cannot choose but weep. Far away, in a little street, there is a poor house. One of the windows is open, and through it I can see a woman seated at a table. Her face is thin and worn, and she has coarse red hands all pricked by the needle, for she is a seamstress. In a bed in the corner of the room, her little boy is lying ill. He has a fever, and is asking for oranges. His mother has nothing to give him but river water, so he is crying. Will you not bring her the ruby out of my sword hilt? My feet are fastened to this pedestal, and I cannot move. I am waited for in Egypt, said the swallow. My friends are flying up and down the Nile, and soon they will go to sleep in the tomb of the great king.
Swallow, swallow, little swallow, said the prince, will you not stay with me for one night, and be my messenger? The boy is so thirsty, and the mother so sad. So the swallow picked out the great ruby from the prince's sword, and flew away with it in his beak over the roofs of the town. At last he came to the poor house and looked in. The boy was tossing feverishly on his bed, and the mother had fallen asleep, she was so tired. In he hopped, and laid the great ruby on the table beside the woman's thimble.
Then he flew gently round the bed, fanning the boy's forehead with his wings. "How cool I feel," said the boy. "I must be getting better." And he sank into a delicious slumber. Then the swallow flew back to the happy prince and told him what he had done. "It is curious," he remarked, "but I feel quite warm now, although it is so cold." "That is because you have done a good action," said the prince. And the little swallow began to think. And then he fell asleep. Thinking always made him sleepy. When day broke, he flew down to the river and had a bath. He visited all the public monuments and sat a long time on top of the church steeple. Wherever he went, the sparrows chirruped and said to each other, "What a distinguished stranger!" So he enjoyed himself very much. When the moon rose, he flew back to the happy prince. "Have you any commissions for Egypt?" he cried. "I'm just starting."
"Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince. "Far away across the city, I see a young man in a garret. He is leaning over a desk covered with papers, and in a tumbler by his side there is a bunch of withered violets. He is trying to finish a play for the director of the theatre, but he is too cold to write any more. There is no fire in the grate, and hunger has made him faint."
"I will wait with you one night longer," said the swallow, who really had a good heart. "Shall I take him another ruby?"
"Alas, I have no ruby now," said the prince. "My eyes are all that I have left. They are made of rare sapphires, which were brought out of India 1,000 years ago. Pluck out one of them and take it to him. He will sell it to the jeweler and buy food and firewood and finish his play." So the swallow plucked out the prince's eye and flew away to the student's garret. It was easy enough to get in, as there was a hole in the roof. Through this he darted and came into the room. The young man had his head buried in his hands, so he did not hear the flutter of the bird's wings, and when he looked up, he found the beautiful sapphire lying on the withered violets. "I am beginning to be appreciated," he cried. "This is from some great admirer. Now I can finish my play." And he looked quite happy. The next day the swallow flew down to the harbour. He sat on the mast of a large vessel and watched the sailors hauling big chests out of the hold with ropes, and when the moon rose he flew back to the happy prince. "I'm come to bid you good-bye," he cried. "Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "will you not stay with me one night longer?"
"It is winter," answered the swallow, "and the chill snow will soon be here. In Egypt the sun is warm on the green palm trees. Dear prince, I must leave you, but I will never forget you, and next spring I will bring you back 2 beautiful jewels in place of those you have given away."
"In the square below," said the happy prince, "there stands a little match girl. She has let her matches fall in the gutter, and they are spoiled. Her father will beat her if she does not bring home some money, and she is crying. She has no shoes or stockings, and her little head is bare. Pluck out my other eye and give it to her, and her father will not beat her."
"I will stay with you one night longer," said the swallow, "but I cannot pluck out your eye. You would be quite blind then."
"Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "do as I command you." So he plucked out the prince's other eye and darted down with it. He swooped past the match girl and slipped the jewel into the palm of her hand.
"What a lovely bit of glass!" cried the little girl, and she ran home laughing.
Then the swallow came back to the prince. "You are blind now," he said, "so I will stay with you always." And he slept at the prince's feet. All the next day he sat on the prince's shoulder and told him stories of what he had seen in strange lands. "Dear little swallow," said the prince, "you tell me of marvellous things. Fly over my city. Tell me what you see there." So the swallow flew over the great city and saw the rich making merry in their beautiful houses while the beggars were sitting at the gates. He flew into dark lanes and saw the white faces of starving children looking out listlessly at the black streets. Under the archway of a bridge, two little boys were lying in one another's arms to try and keep themselves warm. "How hungry we are," they said.
"You must not lie here," shouted the watchman.
And they wandered out into the rain. Then he flew back and told the prince what he had seen. "I am covered with fine gold," said the prince. "You must take it off leaf by leaf and give it to my poor. The living always think that gold can make them happy." Leaf after leaf of the fine gold the swallow picked off, till the happy prince looked quite dull and grey. Leaf after leaf of the fine gold he brought to the poor, and the children's faces grew rosier, and they laughed and played games in the street. "We have bread now," they cried. Then the snow came, and after the snow came the frost. The poor little swallow grew colder and colder, but he would not leave the prince. He loved him too well. He picked up crumbs outside the baker's door when the baker was not looking and tried to keep himself warm by flapping his wings. But at last he knew that he was going to die. He had just strength to fly up to the prince's shoulder once more. "Goodbye, dear prince," he murmured. "Will you let me kiss your hand?" "I'm glad that you're going to Egypt at last, little swallow," said the prince. "You have stayed too long here, but you must kiss me on the lips, for I love you." "It is not to Egypt that I am going," said the swallow. "I am going to the house of death. Death is the brother of sleep, is he not?" And he kissed the happy prince on the lips and fell down dead at his feet. At that moment, a curious crack sounded inside the statue, as if something had broken. The fact is that the leaden heart had snapped right in two. Early the next morning, the mayor was walking in the square below in company with the town councillors. As they passed the column, he looked up at the statue. "Dear me, how shabby the happy prince looks," he said. "Oh, how shabby indeed," cried the town councillors, who always agreed with the mayor, and they went up to look at it. "The ruby has fallen out of his sword. His eyes are gone, and he is golden no longer," said the mayor. "In fact, he's little better than a beggar. Oh, and here is actually a dead bird at his feet. We really must issue a proclamation that birds are not to be allowed to die here." So they pulled down the statue of the happy prince. "As he is no longer beautiful, he is no longer useful," said the art professor at the university. Then they melted the statue in a furnace, and the mayor held a meeting of the corporation to decide what was to be done with the metal. "We must have another statue, of course," he said, "and it shall be a statue of myself." "What a strange thing," said the overseer of the workmen at the foundry. "This broken lead heart will not melt in the furnace. We must throw it away." So they threw it on a dust heap, where the dead swallow was also lying. "Bring me the two most precious things in the city," said God to one of his angels. And the angel brought him the leaden heart and the dead bird. "You have rightly chosen," said God, "for in my garden of paradise this little bird shall sing forevermore, and in my city of gold the happy prince shall praise me."
The Happy Prince was written by Oscar Wilde, read by John Moffat, and produced by Enid Williams.